who was Van Dijk's ideal partnership, I could say, well, really, anybody, it doesn't really matter. Such are his qualities. Maguire, it's different. He's dependent on the qualities of the players around
him. Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, main sponsor of the Irish rugby team. We all belong to the team of us.
You're very welcome along to Rugby this evening. I'm delighted to say Stephen Ferris is with us to look at the Ireland team that has been named for the game against Italy on Sunday. Stephen, good afternoon to you. How are you getting on?
Afternoon, Jerry. Yeah, pretty good, thank you.
This is an interesting team. We were all a bit concerned that he might just stick Sexton straight back in, that maybe we wouldn't get a chance to see Michael Lowry. But lo and behold, we have Carberry at 10, we've Lowry at 15. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it certainly is. I think the press conference earlier in the week with Johnny Sexton, and he was sort of hinting that he was, you know, ready to go, and his injury woes were behind him. And I certainly expected him to start. I didn't think, you know, everybody was banging the drum for Carberry to get a bit more game time, especially after he went reasonably well against France. But, you know, the captain of Ireland, Johnny Sexton, I certainly thought he would have been back in there. I'm sure he was itching to get back in, but maybe there was a conversation had there to use this game as another opportunity for him to, you know, keep learning and improving on the Ireland blueprint. And yeah, I'm excited to see how it goes. And just on Mikey Lowry, like, it is absolutely fantastic to win your debut in the Six Nations against Italy. Certainly not as much pressure on him, you know, compared to being coming up against an England or a France. But, you know, anybody who's watched him in Europe or in the URC, he has been absolutely electric. He really has top running meters in Europe. He's up for European Player of the Year. He's one of those fellas there. Lots of offloads, line breaks. To use an Eddie O'Sullivan expression, he's a bit like a lightning bolt in a bottle. He is just, he's got everything at the minute. And just to top it all off, he's playing with lots of confidence, as we've all witnessed in recent weeks.
In recent weeks on this show in particular, we've been mildly obsessed by what's going to happen if player X gets injured. In particular, it's Furlong and Sexton. But the other one who has been undroppable and who literally hasn't been dropped at any stage so far is Hugo Keenan. And so there's a real opportunity here for Lowry to play his way into the squad as the 23rd name on the team sheet. But then once he gets in, to be undroppable.
Yeah. Obviously we all scroll through social media quite often these days, and you know, Brian O'Driscoll sent out a tweet just about a number of these guys who really are in the mix for that Rugby World Cup squad in 2023, and I think that's what Mikey Lowry's got to have on the horizon, is to try and play well, to try and be a really good option if Hugo Keenan does go down injured, that he can be relied upon when Andy Farrell calls him up again. But I think just the form that he's in, I don't expect anything other than a brilliant performance this weekend on Sunday afternoon from Mikey Lowry. If he is given time and space, and I think the players that Andy Farrell has put around him, you know, James Lowe in one wing, Mark Hanson in the other, two players that love to throw the ball around, take risks, take chances with offloads, Mikey Lowry is exactly the same, and I think that combination will really work well. It's really exciting, and I think anybody who's bought a ticket, you know, that back three is worth the entrance fee alone.
I'm really dying to see this back three against a team that isn't Italy at some point as well, just to see what they're capable of.
Yeah, so am I. Like, but I don't think, Jerry, we're going to get that chance in any meaningful games that, you know, there's something really on the line. I think we all know that Ireland are going to win this game. It's just by how many points is the answer, isn't it?
It is interesting, though, that they think that this is something worth trying out here. It's like the rest of the team, and if people miss the team, I should actually have gone through it. It is our first choice available front row at this stage because, obviously, Kelleher is injured. So it's Andrew Porter, Dan Sheehan, Tadhg Furlong. The second row is really interesting. I'll get your thoughts on this in a moment. It's Tadhg Byrne and Ryan Baird. Peter O'Mahony captains the team from six. It's Josh van der Fleer and Caelan Doris at eight. And then the back line is Gibson Park at nine, Joey Carberry at 10. And we've been talking about the back three there. But the centre partnership is Robbie Henshaw and Gary Ringrose. So he's not taken a huge number of risks, which would suggest that they're actually quite keen on seeing how players play in the environment of actually being in the first team and in a partnership that would work. So, you know, he didn't take the opportunity to put Craig Casey straight in and go, Carberry and Casey, we'll see what this is like because it's our second tier. It's like, no, we're going to see what Carberry looks like when he's got Gibson Park inside him and outside him Robbie Henshaw, because you know, let's face it, that could easily be our first team at some point sooner rather than later, and maybe even for the England game.
Well, Ger, I look at a team sheet like this and I say, well, who actually does Andy Farrell really, really believe is going to make his Rugby World Cup squad? And it's the guys who are starting. It's Michael Larry, Ryan Baird, you know, two guys who have been on the fringes. I think Andy Farrell has belief in these guys, and now they're starting. Obviously, Joey Carberry in there as well, and the back three players. So I think if you're really in Andy Farrell's mind, and, you know, you're one of the players that he trusts and wants to rely on going forward, then you're starting this game. I think Craig Casey, he hasn't obviously had a lot of game time for Munster. Hasn't played badly, but hasn't, you know, reached the heights that he did last year. Conor Murray started the European game, so didn't get a big pack in front of him, and now he finds himself on the bench. And like, it could have been a brilliant game for him to show his skill set. And you know, is he slightly down the pecking order, like a lot of people out there and a lot of pundits like myself maybe believe? Then we'll see how that, you know, transpires over the next number of months. But I think it's a great squad. You're going to ask me a question maybe on the second row. Well, they can play number six as well. Ryan Baird's played in the back row for Ireland, I believe, and for Leinster quite a bit. And obviously, Tadhg Byrne, he started his career with a number six jersey on. Phenomenal over the ball. And then the three lads in the back row, Jack Conan's the one that misses out for Peter O'Mahony to come in and get some game time. I think that's the right decision to bring Pete in. And he's obviously, you know, really well equipped in the number six jersey. He's also a brilliant line-out option. I can't see a problem with it, you know, with set piece at Italy causing us too much trouble. But it's a team that will not stop. It'll just keep going, really busy, very versatile. And I think we're going to see, if this Ireland team clicks, Ger, I can really see a big score being racked up, just with the way they've been playing, especially against Wales. If Italy give them the time and space that Wales give Ireland, then I can see them, you know, really being under the pump for large parts.
100%. It is really us trying to measure how well the team performs now on the back of the France game in advance of the England game, and with always one eye on the World Cup. Just on the Dan Sheehan point, we were all so impressed with Ronan Kelleher and how quickly he got up to international standard rugby and right to the fringes of the Lions, training with them and you know, out there and part of that. And who knows, but maybe Dan Sheehan might even be better than him because it's that close between them.
It is. I think they're very, very similar. Dan Sheehan came on last week, one of the biggest, or 2 weeks ago, my apologies, one of the biggest games of the season. He loses his first line out. It's a bit of an overflow. Timing just wasn't quite right. And I had my hands, you know, over my eyes, just peeking through at the next line out. And from then on, he almost grew into the game more. Damian Penaud was on the wing, and he found himself out there, keeping plenty of width, like Ronan Kelleher does. And he sidestepped him back in, got away from the touchline, made 5 or 6 metres, and I thought he was really, really busy. Even in the lead-up to one of the tries, he was just everywhere, and I think his work rate is second to none. If he can nail his line-out, we know Rob Herring, there's a lot of people saying that, you know, Paul O'Connell really likes Rob Herring because of his throwing and how accurate it is. But if Dan Sheehan can hit his man and really set a tone there, then I think, you know, the jersey's going to be his for the other two lads to try and take off him.
It's a great situation where there's three of them actually pushing each other, and it's not just one person with two who are kind of, oh. But actually, Herring has been really, it's funny, he's one of those players who stepped up to international level and raised his game, which is really what you want from players.
Yeah, you got to, and like, you know, domestic URC, or, you know, if you're playing in the Gallagher Premiership, there's a certain level, then you make the next step up to European rugby, and you make the next step up. And unfortunately, actually, we were chatting about this the other day with a few guys. It was actually Tom Shanklin about, you know, the old days of Ireland A, or the Irish Wolfhounds. And we haven't seen any of these players, you know, the jump from European rugby to international rugby is a big jump. But, you know, some of those A games that I used to play in, or Tom Shanklin, or even, you know, some of the other lads way back, were a really good marker to try and test yourself once again. I certainly, like, I know I'm going a wee bit off peak here, But I certainly feel those games, you know, should be brought back in at some stage. And to represent Ireland at A level is certainly a huge honour. So, you know, some other guys like, you know, Nathan Doak, for instance, up at Ulster, he could be getting a game for Ireland A at some stage. You know, maybe one or two during the Six Nations would be class. But yeah, it's another topic altogether.
Well, no,
sorry, Jeremy,
no, not at all. You bring up Nathan Doak. I'm unbelievably excited to see where he's going to go. It feels perhaps this World Cup might come a bit too soon for him. But if you get the feeling that, like, if he was French, or maybe even if he was English, we'd be looking at him. We definitely would be giving him five off the bench appearances and maybe a couple of stars to go. Can he make it or not? Let's use the time.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. Like, I really am a huge fan. I might put out a tweet next week just about, I got sent a lot of information about his stats this season, and not in the URC, more specific to European games, where he can kind of gauge himself against the other scrum halves and Casey and Murray and Jameson Gibson Park, and he is better than the other three guys in most of those stats. I think there's a lot of hype around this young man. There has been since he was at Wallace High School in Lisburn, just 5-6 miles up the road from here, from me here. And when there's hype, there comes pressure, and he delivers. He gets URC man of the match nearly every other game he plays. Then he goes into Europe. He's one of the players of the matches in Europe. And can he make the next level step up? Absolutely, Jerry, he can. And I firmly believe that he'll be thereabouts to try and get into this Rugby World Cup squad next year, if he keeps playing and if he can keep John Cooney out of the Ulster team.
Yeah, and again, that's just that strength and depth that we have, where Cooney must be an unbelievable presence to have around the place. He's got big cojones. We've seen him taking big, important kicks for Ulster in match-winning circumstances, and he's never let them down. And if you're beating him out, you're pretty good at rugby. So, very excited to see where that backline and that very talented Ulster backline goes. And talking about Lowry in this, the confidence that he must have coming from playing with players who understand exactly what wavelength he's on and what he's trying to do. It feels like this back three with Mac Hansen and James Lowe are going to be similar to what he's playing with at Ulster, and perhaps even just a step up. So that's why it's so exciting, and why you'd really love to see them playing against Scotland maybe, or even against England perhaps.
Yeah, like, I think you and I definitely would, Jared, love to see the boys play. We'll see how this weekend goes, but like, if Italy kicked loosely to Ireland, it could be, you know, spell huge trouble for them. Mikey Lowry doesn't kick well, but he just prefers to run the ball back. He prefers to eat up ground with his pace, with his agility, with his explosive acceleration. And he just eats up ground. Like, he doesn't have the best high end pace. Like, Hugo Keenan, if you were doing a 100-yard dash, would probably win by, you know, a second or more. But if you're going to gauge them over 20 to 30 metres, where most of the rugby is played in the modern game, not too many lads are running with the ball in hand more than that. So, yeah, I just can't wait to see them go. And, you know, James Lowe, what a try he scored last weekend for Leinster, albeit the defence was was questionable. But it's good to see him back. And Mac Hansen, just give him a bit more confidence. And play against a team where he can really, you know, showcase all his skills. So yeah, like yourself, Jar, I'm hugely excited, and hopefully they get plenty of ball to feed off.
When you're in a team and a player plays his way into a position and is nailed on, and everybody thinks, right, you're going to start whenever you're fit, and then they get injured and they come back and they get straight back in like James Lowe does, you get the sense that, okay, he hasn't been punished in any way for being injured. But it does mean that if Lowe plays well, which I expect him to, I haven't a clue who's going to get picked next week.
Yeah, I know. I don't have a, like, I think Andrew Conway, he gave away a stupid penalty last week against France. He wasn't in the game that much. You know, Ireland obviously lost the kicking battle the majority of the time against France. I still think he's going to get in there. Conway's a fantastic player. But it's, you know, it's the other three or four lads, Keith Earls, if, you know, if he gets himself back fit and firing over the next couple of months, how's that going to pan out? And into next year with the Rugby World Cup, will he still be knocking around? He possibly could be. So, yeah, the overriding feeling is that it's brilliant just to have all these players at your disposal. And, You know, I'm a massive fan of James Lowe. I know that he's had his critics in the past about his defence, but I think, you know, what he offers you with ball in hand, it can really terrify any defences in world rugby. So, yeah, I'm sure he'd get a few line breaks at the weekend.
Yeah, you can work on defence, but you can't really teach the instinct that he seems to have, and certainly the power that he has when he has ball in hand as well is something that it's harder to acquire than it is to acquire defensive skills. Rugby and Off the Ball is with Vodafone, main sponsor of the Irish rugby team. We all belong to the team of us. I do want to ask you a little bit about the second row in a bit more detail. What kind of a partnership will Byrne and Baird be? Like, it's very different from maybe some of the traditional partnerships we would have seen in the past, and certainly more skillful than some of the second row partnerships we would have seen in the past. Certainly they will look to have the ball in their hands early and often. So what are the skills and what are the strengths of them as a partnership?
Well, first of all, Ryan Baird is a particularly good ball carrier. He's a better ball carrier than Tadhg Byrne. Tadhg Byrne's much better over the ball in defence, probably a slightly better line-out forward as well. But the problem, Jer, with having, you know, Ryan Baird, Byrne, you know, Josh van der Fleer, Doris, Peter Omani, you know, you have the two props that also like to carry as well. You have seven or eight lads there who are always going to want to have the ball. You know, and it's important that they really stick to the game plan. They really stick to their shape. They get their better ball carriers on the ball when they can. And, you know, the other lads have got to do the other work, you know, hitting, smashing rucks, getting around the corner. Sometimes you need to keep with. The ball might not come to you for three or four phases. Make sure and stay out there, keep your width. And I think, you know, Ryan Baird, I can't remember who it was in the Autumn Internationals. It must have been Japan, or was it Argentina? No, it was Argentina. And he was chasing a kick, and he was like hurtling down the pitch at a rate of knots. And I was like, that is 6'6" winger sprinting down the pitch, just eating up the yard. It was like, it was ridiculous. Now, I know he was fresh. He was just off the bench, I think, as well. But yeah, there's been a lot of hype about him as well since he was a young fella coming out of school. And I can remember asking one of the S&C coaches at Leinster, who used to be up at Ulster, at one of the games, I was down working, I think it was Leinster versus Munster or something, but I was working at it, and I was chatting to him, and Ryan Baird hadn't even come onto the scene yet, and I says, oh, you know, what's the crack, who's, you know, who's lifting well in the gym, you know, who's the best athletes knocking around at the minute, who's the most skillful? And he said, Stevie, you know, forget about him, this fella Ryan Baird has got everything. And I was like, seriously? I was like, well, I haven't really heard too much of him. I've seen him maybe play for Leinster A against a few teams. And he goes, watch out for this guy. And lo and behold, a couple of years later, here he is, you know, starting in the Six Nations against Italy. So, yeah, hopefully he lives up to the big hype that I've just given him. But I think him and, Byrne in the second row will work well together. And if they can keep this game plan of trying to avoid contact, you know, keep plenty of width on it, plenty of pace, now that'll suit those two boys down to the ground.
Okay, what do you make of the decision to start Carberry and keep Sexton in reserve on the bench? There is an argument. This is more than likely what we're going to have at the World Cup, given Sexton's age.
Yeah.
He might well make it there. He might still be our first choice player at that point, but it's unlikely. So maybe we should get prepared for this and do it as often as we can in the meantime.
Yeah, like, but the other side of it is that, you know, you're going to end next day, you know, Johnny end up, doesn't end up playing, you know, maybe he comes on for 10 or 15 minutes. Then he's had 10 or 15 minutes with another week's break before he gets to the next game. And I know he's been around a long, long time. He's able to manage his body. He's able to get himself up to speed for the big games. But, you know, playing maybe 15 minutes off the bench this weekend with a bit of a break either side because of, you know, the previous one because of injury and the next one because there's no game the following week, you know, it might just take him a while to get going then in a penultimate game. So there's pros and cons for it, but I personally like the decision to play Joey Carberry. I think that he deserves another opportunity. It's good to see him, you know, with these other players around him, to see how he functions. You know, it was Bundiaki at 12 last week, Robbie Henshaw at 12 this week. Let's see how that combination works. Obviously the much changed back three, let's see how he gets them into the game. Can he make sure that his kicking game is a little bit better than it was last week? Can he manage, you know, the exit strategies to try and get them out of dodge at times when last week, you know, that was an Achilles heel for them. So there's so much to work on, and there's so much from Andy Farrell and the coaching setup to look at and say, right, Joey, you got to do this better this week. We know that Johnny can do it. We know he can. But can Joey, you know, get up another couple of levels towards where Johnny is? And that's one of the question marks over it. And I wish him all the best this weekend. He's got a really good team around him, and hopefully the front football is there for him to feed off, and we can run in a few tries.
They tend not to make massive changes. If you are in possession and you're playing well, you tend not to get dropped. That's been true so far of Farrell. Is there a world in which Carberry plays well and keeps the jersey for the England game?
No, absolutely not. Like, Johnny Sexton's the captain of Ireland, like, and I think that would be, I think that would be crazy for you know, Joey Carberry to start against England, and you know, especially if they go really well and they, you know, they rack up a brilliant score, then you have to go to England. You're going to want somebody that's been there, done it, and's got the T-shirt there. And I would want Johnny Sexton every day of the week. And if he does pick up another injury, he does, you know, the hamstring gives in or whatever it is this time round, then you have somebody on the bench like Joey who you can rely a bit more on to come into the game and not feel like he's been in the wilderness for the last, you know, 6 weeks. So, yeah, I think it's the right decision to play him this week. Obviously, started the last game, and then get Johnny back in, ready and round to go for the England game.
Okay, well, we've scored 50 points or more in the last three Six Nations games against Italy at the Aviva, so we expect something fairly similar. There's not much jeopardy in terms of the outcome, but there is in the other two games, it feels like, or maybe, I don't know. France have been notoriously flaky in this competition for the best part of two decades, but this French team seems to be cut from a different cloth. They seem to be better and more controlled. This is a test of that. It's away from home. It's at Murrayfield against Scotland. Do you give Scotland any chance of doing us a favour?
Yeah, I was looking at the handicap. There's only 6 points in it, I think, between the two sides. And, like, I was over in Principality Stadium working at the game for Wales versus Scotland. And Scotland, like, you know, thought they were going to run away with it, after the first 10 or 15 minutes. And it was actually embarrassing, some of the performances that were put in. They get dominated for large parts. I think Scotland are missing a few players, especially in the back row. Much changed teams. Xander Fagerson's coming back into tight head. They actually got a bit of a hard time against Wales. So with Antonia and Bai and the other lads coming in behind the French team, I think it's going to be really, really tough. The weather looks good as well. You know, Scotland, the last couple of games, the weather hasn't been great. I know they dogged it out against England, but you know, apart from the two or three line breaks that they made, they didn't really create too much more. So, yeah, of course, Ger, I'm going to go with France. I know they have a couple of changes. Villiers isn't involved. Moefana goes to the wing. And, you know, Dante comes back into the centre. You know, he'll be coming up against Tupelotu, which will be a really good head-to-head there. But, yeah, I've got to go France to win it by 7 to 10 points, in my opinion.
Okay, that all makes sense. England against Wales, again, it's like England have been flaky and not quite sure of their own identity, but they've seemed to be getting things more right than wrong in the last couple of weeks. What's your instinct about this one?
Yeah, like, I wasn't overly impressed with them against Italy, but yet they racked up a huge score, created some really nice opportunities. They seem to be playing with a bit of a swagger again, don't they? It's amazing. Like, after one game, they can just turn around. Like, after Scotland, they were walking around with their heads down, and it looked like it was the end of the world, and you know, they were going to get bailed out in the first game or first round of the Rugby World Cup 2023. And then they, you know, smoke Italy away from home, and all of a sudden they're going to win the Rugby World Cup again, and they're going to beat anybody in front of them. But that's the professional game. That's what I love about it. I actually enjoyed the way England played. Ellis Gaines, he's had his critics. I've been one of his critics also. I think there was the hype train was following him around for quite a bit, but he's actually now stepped up, and I think he's playing very, very well. Very dominant up front. A couple of changes in the pack there. Courtney Laws is back in. You know, British and Irish Lion, one of the best players in that first test. I think he actually got man of the match in the first test against the Springboks in the summer. So, yeah, it's good to rely on boys they've gotten. Harry Randall and Marcus Smith, was their first start together in an English jersey, and they'll cause mayhem if they can get front foot ball. So, yeah, I think England are maybe going to win this one 15 to 20 points. I just can't see Wales getting in. They just don't play a good enough attacking style of rugby, in my opinion, especially when they come up against half-decent defences like they did against Ireland a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, I can only see one winner there, Ger.
All right, that sounds like a bit of a paddling for them. Stevie, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
No worries. Cheers, Ger.
That's the legend that is Stephen Ferris joining us this evening. Rugby and Off the Ball is with Vodafone, main sponsor of the Irish rugby team. We all belong to the team of us. We'll obviously have updates on Sunday for you across the day here on Off the Ball on Newstalk.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, main sponsor of the Irish rugby team. We all belong to the team of us.